Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the New Testament book of John. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We are studying the writing called the Gospel according to John. And we noticed there in verses 1 and 2 in our last study of chapter 1 that there was no genealogy for Christ. Because, you see, God does not have a genealogy. However, what we see is there's a genealogy in Matthew because a king has to have a genealogy. There's one in Luke. A perfect man should have a genealogy. And there was no genealogy in Mark because a servant doesn't need one. Nobody cares. But there's no genealogy in John because Almighty God doesn't have one. He not only doesn't need one, he doesn't have one. Dr. Van Dyke wrote this: if four witnesses should appear before a judge to give an account of a certain event, and each witness should tell exactly the same story in the same words, the judge would probably conclude not that their testimony was exceptionally valuable, but that the only event which was certain beyond a doubt was that they had agreed to tell the same story. But if each man had told what he had seen, as he had seen it, with the evidence, then would be credible. And when we read the four Gospels, is not that exactly what we find? The four men tell the same story in their own way. Also, one thing that we need to remind you of, it is not a biographical summary of Christ's life, but it's rather a theological summary of Christ's life. Almost everything, not quite, but almost everything in the four Gospels concerning from birth to age 30 is left out. So it's not a biographical presentation, it's a theological presentation of the very life of Christ. As I've told you before, one of my favorite Bibles to use, in fact, my favorite Bible to use, is an old Bible that was given to me by my mom and dad when I was 16 years old. And I've preached out of it for these many years, until now the pages are torn as well as worn. Not only are my scribbles all over the pages, but now I find that the leaf here, the page of John chapter 1, has now fallen out of my Bible. I am sad, because it's like having an old friend. You know, you're comfortable, you can move through the Bible, through the book, very easily because you're used to it. Well, that's now something that is sad in my heart, because this thing of ink and paper, which is Holy Writ, now has come apart at the seams. And you know, I'm reminded of the statement of many preachers over the years that it's better that your Bible be falling apart at the seams than your life to be falling apart at the seams. And so I will take comfort in that, although disappointment in seeing the pages of the sacred book falling out. We are in John chapter 1, verse 3. Let's begin at verse 1 to put us in context. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And now verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, or excuse me, let me read it properly. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. All things, John writes, were made by Christ, and without Christ was not anything made that was made. That makes it pretty clear, does it not? That it is the Word, God the Word, who was there in the beginning. It was the Word that was spoken. It was the Word that was given. It was the Word that was responsible for creation. All things were made by Him, by Christ, and without Him, without Christ, was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we see where our life comes from. Not only did God breathe into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life, but also it is life in Christ Himself. Without Christ, there is no life. In Him was life. He's the origin of our life. Christ Himself, the origin of our life. And the life was the light of men. Understand something clearly from the beginning of this gospel. Without Christ, we would never have been created. Without Christ, nothing would have been created. Without Christ, there would have been no life in the body, the flesh of man, because life itself comes from Christ Himself. And His life is also our light. Do not ever underestimate the power of Jesus Christ. And don't underestimate the authority of Jesus Christ in your life. We have those who would teach that there was no beginning, only a bang. No start, no creation, if you will. It just sort of oozed its way around until we had something that was from nothing. Of course, we know that not to be the case because we know that Christ Himself is our Creator. And if mankind believes the fallacy and the fables of so-called scientists who believe the lie of Satan, and if they do not acknowledge creation being a very act of Almighty God, indeed Jesus Christ Himself, if there is no acknowledgement of creation, then there is no true light in their lives. When you think about it, light is energy. And I've heard engineers and scientists talk about this very thing of Jesus Christ as light. Jesus Christ as life. But let me tell you what, if you don't have the energy, if you're not energized by God Himself, and in this case, quickened, made alive by the Holy Spirit, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we human beings have no life or light for eternity. You see, this is a theological discussion. It's not a scientific discussion. It's not a human discussion. It's a theological discussion. It's a knowledge of God discussion. That's what theology means, the knowledge of Almighty, the knowledge of God. And so that's what this is. This is a discussion that is theologically based, but it's one that depends, or excuse me, it's one that impinges upon your life, your being, who you are. And your life depends upon knowing who you are and if you are in Christ or not. Because if you are not in Christ, then you are not of God. And if you are not of God, then you really don't have the light the understanding, the energy, the life that God would want you to have. We're told in other scriptures that God himself would not have any of us to perish, but all to come to repentance, every one of us to come to faith in Christ. And in Christ, verse 4, was life, and the life was the light of men. Just as Christ speaks in John chapter 3 and speaks about the life that he brings to mankind when they trust in him, so it is that Christ himself is the life giver. He's the life giver, he's the life liver. He is the one that lives his life through us. And we live because he lives. I'm crucified with Christ, Paul said, yet I live. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me that's living. It is Christ who lives within me. In him, in Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. Take a look at what is around you. Just give it a thought. I'll pause a little while and let you think about the things around you. It really gets us down sometimes when we think about what's going on around us and we see the darkness. Verse 5 talks of that. And the light, this is Jesus Christ, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not, or comprehended it not, it says in the King James, means that it did not overtake it. It could not squelch it. Let's talk about the features of light in this life. When we talk about illumination, or we talk about the use of lighting, we talk about the glow of the light, or we talk about the fact we can see because the light has been turned on. And so it is that John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in his teaching here, is letting us know that Jesus Christ is the light that overtakes the darkness. One thing that I have noticed as I've gotten older, darkness never overtakes light, but light overtakes darkness. Now you say, well, when the sun sets, it gets dark. Well, yes, that does, but that's a natural occurrence. It happens every day, and every 24 hours you'll go through that cycle of light and dark, dark and light. But when we're talking about having a light source, whether it be some newfangled style of lighting or some old 100-year-old style of lighting, or thousands of year old style of lighting with a wax candle or some sort of an oil lamp. When you have the light, you dispel the darkness. It goes away. It does not overtake your light. Even if you have just a match or just a flame and it's dark all around you, that flame, that match, that little bit of light will illuminate everything around it and cause the darkness to flee away from its very presence. And that's what we see here in verse 5, speaking of the spiritual as well as the physical. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness could not overtake it. So when we see what's going on in the world around us, and we see the spiritual darkness, we see the spiritual nastiness, the sin and degradation that's all around us, and we cry out in despair. Know that the light from Jesus Christ will never be overtaken by that darkness, by that despair, by that nastiness, by that sin. But the light is the light of men, and it is the life of men, and it is from Christ himself. So let's look at these five verses again. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God the Son and Son, very God Himself, God the Son and the Son of God. All things were made by Him, that is, by Christ, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Nothing from nothing. No, something from Christ. Without Him, without Christ, was not anything made that was made. In Him, that is, in Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness could not overtake it. The darkness could not make it dark. Darkness can't make light dark. And I'm glad for that. And I'm glad that God, through His Son Jesus Christ, has brought light to this world. Now, Jesus Christ Himself, and we will see this later on in the book of John, says that He is the light of the world. Now, we've already been introduced to that idea here in the first five verses. But Jesus Christ Himself will be telling us that. That's one thing I love about the Gospels, is that there are quotations from Jesus Christ Himself. Now, I know some people that have told me the Gospels are all that I read. The Gospels are all that I obey. If Christ said it, I'll do it. Well, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. That's what Christ said. Are we going to go do that? I don't know that anyone should do that, because that wasn't what Christ meant in the physical. He was talking about the spiritual things. And He was also giving the understanding of how ludicrous it was to do such a thing when He had provided salvation by grace through faith, and He was going to the cross to provide it. But I do have people that tell me we only read the Gospels. We only study the Gospels. Only what Christ said in the Gospels is to be considered. Well, let me be very clear and yet very kind as much as I can. I understand the thought, and I have researched the sayings of Jesus, and I have studied them, and I love studying what Jesus Christ had to say. And I love obeying Christ's words as best I can. But I also know that if I do not have the light of the rest of Scripture, the illumination of the Holy Spirit teaching me through the whole counsel of the Word of God, including the Gospels, but including also the epistles, and including Acts, and including Revelation, and including all that there is in the package from God's own hand to our very understanding, if I do not receive the rest of the Word, the whole counsel of the Word of God, then I will be deficient in my understanding of Christ's words. May I say that again, perhaps a little more succinctly? If I do not study the whole counsel of the Word of God, I will be deficient in my understanding of the very words of Christ that we find in the Gospels. It's important for us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed. Paul, writing to Timothy, had that to say. It's important for us to note that while we are studying the Gospel of John, and while it is to present to us a theological understanding of who Christ is, the very God Himself, then we must understand as well that we are not to study John in isolation, but we're to study John in relation to the rest of the Word of God. We must. If we do not, then we err. E-R-R, we make an error. We make an error in judgment. We make an error in our understanding of Scriptures, in our disputations, in our decisions. We'll make a great mistake if we do not take in the whole counsel of the Word of God. It's so important. And so, while we are studying one book at a time in this Bible study, and I think that's a logical and a reasonable way to do it, we are planning, by God's grace, if He gives us the opportunity and time, to study all the books of the Bible, those that may be of great use to us and those that may not be of as great a use as we see the others. Some of the mail, as has been said by many theologians, some of the mail that God's written is specifically for us. Most is not specifically for us. But what is specifically for us, we can have enhanced our understanding by studying other people's mail as well, because it's given to us. We're not stealing that mail. We're reading that mail, whomever it was addressed to, and that's what's important. But for us, we must understand what's sent to us specifically so we can better be that Christian that God would have us to be.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.